welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. I'm Richard Taylor, an award-winning author, apparel industry expert, and business owner. Last week on the pilot episode, we all had a chance to introduce ourselves and you just had a chance to get to know us just a little bit. This week, we're going to be discussing first impressions and how that you never get a second chance to make a great first impression. Also, a little bit later on, we have a great interview with Stacy Tenenbaum, who is producing the Shiners documentary. This is all about shoe shining, and she's traveled all over the world and talk to shoe shiners from every walk of life, and we really think you're going to enjoy that as well. And a little bit after that, Dennis Stiles will be back on to join us with some fashion tips, and then we'll close out the episode with some gentlemen's tips of the week as well. But without further ado, I want to welcome and bring on my co-host, Charles. How you doing, Charles?
I'm doing well. How's it going there, Richard?
Doing very good today. It's our first official podcast, and I think we got a good subject here talking about making a good first impression, because when you first meet someone, you kind of size them up. I mean, they say don't read a book by a cover, but that's what we do. I mean, you have to admit that.
Yes, it's just a part of life. Even though we think that we don't do it, we always judge someone when we first look at them. So this topic, first impressions, very important.
Yeah, definitely. So let me ask you, since we're just going to dive into this, folks, Charles, what do you think about when you see someone that's well-dressed, somebody that has a polished appearance? What goes through your mind?
Well, first of all, when I think about first impressions or when I see somebody, I always goes back to when I was young. And you see the wet cement that's there. And what's the first thing that you want to do as a kid?
Put your hands in there, right?
You want to put your hands in the wet cement. But when you take it away from the wet cement, what's left behind? The handprint or an impression of your handprint. But what happened when it's dries? Years later, that impression that you make, it's still there in the concrete. So the first impression that we make, sometimes it can be cemented in somebody's mind for everlasting.
Yeah, I mean, and it goes both ways. I mean, we've all run into different people. I think you see somebody and you're not trying to be a judgmental person, but you do look at their appearance. I mean, before they get a chance to open their mouth, you know, you kind of size them up. Like, he must be about this or he must be about that based on simply how they're dressed. I mean, you see a guy in a suit, what do you think?
Yeah, and when you see a guy in a suit, you think, okay, a businessman.
Right. Now you see a guy with jeans and a dirty t-shirt.
You think, okay, maybe he's going to ask me for some money.
Yeah, true. Or a guy that's wearing construction boots.
No doubt you say, hey, this guy is a hard worker there.
Definitely. So, I mean, everybody, I think we can see how we make judgment calls right off the bat. But what are some of the benefits of dressing well? And when we say dressing well, it doesn't mean you have to be the most stylish guy in the world, but a clean, presentable appearance, I mean, that's gotta mean something.
Yeah, it does. And dressing well goes beyond of just what you're wearing. It goes beyond your shoes, goes beyond the pants you're wearing, goes beyond the ties as you have, or even a shirt. But dressing well, it even encompasses your face. Whether or not you're smiling, whether or not how you look, how you present yourself, are you standing up straight? You know, however you are, it encompasses so much more than just your dress.
Yeah, now let me share this statistic with you. This is something that I read. This is a harsh reality. As humans, we make a decision about people within the first 3 seconds of meeting them. And then in the next 90 seconds, we spend that time trying to confirm our first impressions. Does that make any sense?
Wow, 1, 2, 3. I just made a judgment about you.
That fast, right?
That fast, that quick. But then the next 90 seconds, then from the look, so the first impression, then becomes you and your personality. Is it going to stand out?
Yeah.
Now, why do you think it's important to kind of put your best foot forward, so to speak?
Because when you see somebody or yourself personally, you don't want to get judged, first of all, by just how you look or how you act. You want people to know so much more. But how you look and how you act before you open your mouth, how else will people get to know you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when you see somebody that's kind of put some time and effort into their appearance, I mean, you kind of give them a little bit of higher level of respect. I mean, their shoes are polished, their pants are creased. You can see that they took some time to put together their outfit. Maybe they finished the outfit off with a nice pocket square or an accent piece. It just shows that they care.
Yeah, and that's one of the points there. When you put care into your outfits, then people is going to reciprocate that same care back to you. They're going to treat you, or they should treat you, the way that you are dressed or how you carry yourself.
Yeah. You know, another thing I noticed, when you put forth that effort, and then you're walking down the street or you're at the mall or somewhere, and you see somebody else that's put forth that same level of effort, what do you do?
It's a nod. It's a respect. It's an eye look.
Yeah.
It's a respect there. And both of you guys share that same common interest. And if they're a true gentleman, and you give them that nod and respect, they will give that back to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've had that happen, and I mean, I've seen it happen from afar, too, at sometimes. Now, some people are going to say right away, well, this is going to cost, right? Now, this is going to cost a lot of money. What do you say to that?
First impressions does not have to cost a lot of money. It's so many things that we can do. Like I said before, if you see a person, do you smile? Do you maybe shake hands or give a customary greeting? Sometimes the greeting, it can be either shaking hands, or it can be a hug or a bow or even a kiss on the cheek. So when you see somebody, these are little things that add to it that don't cost any money.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't cost a lot. I mean, like you said, the smile and just your posture, you know, with your standing up straight. I mean, that goes a long way, because if somebody sees you slouching, or even I've heard this quote, that when you're walking around with your hands in your pockets, that you look like you're sulking.
Yeah.
You may not be having a bad day, but you just appear to be with your head down and afraid to make that eye contact. So have a little confidence, right?
Yeah, just within your eyes. Some say that the eyes is the mirror of the soul. It tells so much there. So when you see somebody, you meet someone, look them into the eye. Those ones who don't look people into the eye, some people say that they can't trust those people.
Yeah, it's kind of an unfair thing. In some cultures, you know, we're raised different ways not to perhaps make that strong eye contact. But a gentleman that is confident in himself will have no fear of making that eye contact and letting everyone know in the room that he's very confident and aware of himself. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
No. And just like the book says, that when we do have a good personal appearance and a good personal style, it says, remember, you are the businessman. You are the CEO of You Incorporated.
Yeah. So how do you want to be addressed, right? People say dress as you want to be addressed, or dress for the job. Not that you have, but dress for the job that you want or the position that you want. And I tell you what, there's been times where you've gone out perhaps dressed in your best, and you've got to admit, the service that you get at, let's say, a restaurant or something like that, it's a different level of service that you're given when you look very presentable.
That is true. Sometimes when you used to have a job where being in a suit and tie, it just wasn't part of that job. When you go just run and do errands, you don't get any looks. You get people stepping out of your way.
Right.
But then when you're in a position where you are dressed up, and it's not even a suit and tie, but it's just well put together, nice. You know, for me, I gotta have the nice shoes on. I gotta have this.
We know about the shoes.
We know about the shoes. I gotta keep those. I gotta keep the colors, and I gotta keep that there. And when that is, even doing some errands, running errands, you get the looks and you get the compliments that's there. And a true gentleman also, too, as we went back there, if you see somebody who's dressed nice, don't be afraid to give them a compliment.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, you know, you have to recognize the effort they put forth. There's nothing wrong. Like you said, give them a compliment. I'm sure they probably would appreciate it. You might make somebody's day. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, they say thank you, and a true gentleman says thank you also too. So giving someone else a compliment is nothing wrong with that if you appreciate just the effort and the style that you put it into that.
I'm going to transition into something because you mentioned shoes.
Yes.
And everybody knows that it's been said that the first thing people notice about you when you walk into a room, especially if you're a man, what do they notice?
They notice that you're putting your best foot forward, or they notice your shoes.
Yeah, definitely. So let's kind of set the table for an interview we have coming up, because there's a lot of guys out there, they want to know how they can keep their shoes in the best working order, so to speak. How can they keep their shoes looking good? I mean, because you go out nowadays, you spend, you know, anywhere between $100, $150, you can spend even more than that on a decent or quality pair of shoes. You don't want to ruin them.
No.
So, I mean,
what's the care you take into it? How often should you have them shined? And then where did it originate from?
Let's get into it. We're going to have an interview with Stacy Tenenbaum, and I think everybody's going to really enjoy this. And then after that, we'll circle back and talk with Dennis and get his take on this as well.
I'm so very excited to bring on Stacy Tenenbaum. She is producing a documentary called Shiners, which is all about shoe shining. And I know we have a lot of menswear enthusiasts out there. So without any further ado, we're going to bring on Stacy and let her start to tell us a little bit about herself and her background. Stacy, could you do that for us?
Yeah, hi. I'm so kind of excited to be involved in a menswear thing especially, so thanks for having me. So my name is Stacy Tenenbaum. The film is Shiners, and basically it's my first documentary film that I've produced, but I did work in television for about 16 years, so I kind of know what I'm doing, but it's been a fun adventure and really amazing, actually, to meet all of these different shoe shiners.
Oh, I bet. You know what, Stacy? The thing is, I want to tell the audience how I found out about you, and the thing is, I was just on Instagram, just scrolling around, and I saw Shiners, and it just jumped out at me. I'm like, what is this? Because I'm a fan of documentaries. I love documentaries, and when I saw that, I thought, oh, this will be the perfect guest to bring on and talk to. Could you tell us, because a lot of people might be surprised that there's a documentary coming out all about shoe shining, what made you choose this subject?
It's actually, I know it's kind of weird because I'm a woman and not many women get their shoe shined, but I really fell in love with getting my shoe shined. It was something that I've been doing for like probably about 20 years. I just, whenever I'd see a shoe shiner, I'd go to it and like I'd just chat with them, and it felt so good to get my shoe shined, and I always felt great when I walked away. And I kind of was like, you know, I think, well, it's a super satisfying job. This is an amazing job. Like, if I feel so good getting my shoe shine, like, they must feel great. And so that was kind of my original thought. And I traveled all around the world. I travel quite regularly. And every time I'd chat with my shoe shiner, I'd sort of bring this up and be like, hey, this must be the best job.
Oh, right.
And they were always like, yeah, we love our job. But then when I talked to other people, and they'd be like, oh, shoe shiner, it's like the worst job. And like, you know, people who are uneducated do it, or people who can't do anything else. So I realized that there was this like sort of disconnect between how people see the job and how they treat shoe shiners, and actually the sort of worth and sort of the satisfaction that the shoe shiners actually get out of doing this job. So for me, that was really interesting. So I had the idea for a documentary for about 10 years and never did anything about it. And finally, a couple of years ago, I decided to kind of look into it more deeply and see if it was possible to do a film about shoe shiners, because I mean, a lot of people are like, how are you going to do that? It's just people shining shoes. It's the same action all of the time.
Right.
But in fact, I found out that it's not. It's super interesting. And the people who do the job are also interesting. So that's how the film came to be.
Okay, cool. Now, what were some of the biggest surprises that you came across? I mean, because you mentioned that wide range of views on people, how they view shoe shiners. I mean, I get that too. I mean, I can understand where they're coming from. So what surprises did you see with that?
Well, I think for me, I mean, the first surprise was the wide range in class between between people doing the job. So that was like number one. Like people always assume it's like, you know, the guy on the street that can't get any other work and, you know, they might not be educated and whatever. But what I found out is actually that there's a huge variety of people who are shining shoes nowadays, and they go from the typical, like, you know, someone who might be an immigrant, who doesn't speak English, who can't, you know, do other jobs, and they're doing that to sort of survive. That does exist, but there's also, like, the completely opposite side, which is this, like, extremely high-end craftsperson, basically, that is giving, you know, a very superior shine. They're doing glissage, they're doing patinas. So it was like this whole world that opened up to me that, like, people don't associate necessarily with shoe shiners. And that can be really, really high-end work.
Yeah.
So that was a big surprise.
Yeah, no, I mean, the high-end part of it, what area or what location kind of had more of the high-end shops, or are they just found kind of sprinkled everywhere?
I think they are sprinkled in different places, definitely. I mean, the places that I went to that really were the most, I found, was Paris. They don't have any shoe shiners on the streets in Paris. It's like they just don't do that. But they have places that are very, very high-end shops where basically rich people bring their shoes to get shined by these professional shoe shiners, and it's very elegant, and it's sort of in these special shops. And then they do have a lot of patina artists in Paris as well. But the craziest one was in Tokyo at Thrift H. That was it. He just takes it to another level. I mean, it's this kind of private gentleman's club, and he serves you tea and a champagne flute, and he shines your shoes for like an hour.
Wow.
It's just crazy. So yeah, I'd say that's like the top level. It's just outrageous.
Pretty, yeah, that sounds pretty luxurious there.
Now, yeah, it's not that expensive. Like, I mean, everything relative, but like in Tokyo, it was only $27 for an hour-long shoe shine. I'm like, that's actually a pretty good deal.
I wish they had one of those where I'm at. That sounds good.
They might. You might just not know about it.
Yeah, exactly. Now I've got to research that.
Yeah.
Since you talked about a couple of the places you went for the film, could you tell us like all the locations that you went to and where you had to travel for the filming of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I did a lot of filming. Not all of it is going to end up in the film, but I went to London, Paris, I'm going to count on my fingers here, New York, La Paz in Bolivia, Tokyo, Hong Kong, Sarajevo, and Toronto.
Okay.
So eight cities.
Eight different cities. What was your favorite location? Do you have one?
I don't know. Wow, that's a great... Oh, wow. I don't know. La Paz, I had altitude sickness, so that was not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Tokyo is always amazing. I love New York. I mean, I really do. I know it's next door, but it's like... I have two of the shoe shiners in the film are from New York, so I have a sweet spot for New York, I'd say.
Okay. The thing I'm thinking about is, at the outset, you kind of mentioned some locations where they were kind of looked down upon. Now, where were those at?
Definitely. I mean, I think in New York still, like, guys shining on the street, people have their, you know, sort of perceptions of it. The guys in the train station as well, you know. I mean, they're kind of are looked down on it. There are some people in New York, which I will show in the film, that are doing some really high-end shines and that, you know, are trying to sort of gain more respect for the profession generally. But I'd say in New York it's still not great. And definitely the worst was in La Paz in Bolivia. It's the only place, the reason I went there was because it was the only place where the shoe shiners wear full face masks. So they wear these balaclavas, which sounds really weird, and it actually looks even weirder. So they're like 2,000, or actually more, there's close to 3,000 shoe shiners in this little tiny town in the middle of these mountains, and they're all wearing these crazy face masks. And the reason they wear the masks is because they're embarrassed. They're too embarrassed to be shoe shiners. There's a lot of discrimination. And some of the shoe shiners, like, their wives don't even know, or their, like, in-laws might not know, or some of them were going to schools that didn't want their schoolmates to know that they actually were shining shoes to support themselves. So that was a real eye-opener.
Yeah, that is. Man, that's different. So, I mean, they literally have masks on?
Yeah. Like, full face mask, like, just, you know, like, bank robber, like, just their eyes are showing kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Man, yeah. that is different. So yeah, so we're getting a wide range here, from a luxury shop in Tokyo to guys wearing masks on the street, shining shoes. But when I think about this film, I'm thinking, so this shoe shining is viewed by some as an art. So
yeah,
is that what you found also? I mean, is there like a renaissance happening?
Absolutely. Actually, originally I was going to call it, and I might still, I don't know, the art of the shoe shine, because I really do believe there is an art to it. I mean, even the guys who are doing it on the street super quick, there's still a level of skill involved in doing this, right? So I think that part of the thing I'm looking at in the film is how we've sort of lost respect for people who do things with their hands, you know, so manual labor at some point became sort of, you know, everybody should go to college and they should get a job that's, you know, and manual labor was sort of looked down upon. And now there is a movement towards wanting to buy things that are well made, that are handcrafted. There's kind of a little bit of a renewed respect for people who work with their hands, and I think that is going down to the shoe shiners as well. I think they're starting to gain more respect, and there's also this resurgence of a sort of retro shoe shiner that has become hip and slightly glamorous, right? So there are shoe shiners who are like sort of using that and bringing the whole trade back and trying to bring a little bit more respect to the trade as well.
Okay, so are there, I kind of take it, I'm just kind of getting the impression there's kind of like some rock star shoe shiners out there where, you know, kind of putting the little twist on it, adding in some little extras. Is that what you found to be?
Absolutely. I mean, there's some, yeah, they're high-end shoe shiners, and they dress like, you know, like shoe shiners dressed in like a suit to go to work, right? Like these really super high-end guys, and they do a better shine. I mean, they can take, you know, like I said, up to an hour to do a shoe shine. So yeah, it's totally coming back, which I think is exciting.
Yeah, that is really cool, actually. Is there any way that you could give us, because you're probably like an expert now. I mean, you probably could do shoe shining yourself.
I'm a terrible shiner.
I don't believe
that's why
that.
I go to see the professionals, I'm telling you. You want some tips?
Yeah, I want some tips. I want some tips, some techniques, something, you know? I know through osmosis alone you would have, you know, picked up on this stuff.
Absolutely, I have. You know what? I still try to shine my shoes, and I'm not as good as the pros. I have to say, my number one thing is go to a shoe shiner, right?
Right.
That's the whole point of this film. We got to support the shiners. But yeah, there's some really, there's also a lot more people that are going and shining their own shoes, which is cool. Some tips. I think the biggest thing that I noticed when I was watching all of these different shiners in different places is the buffing technique. They all kind of use a different thing. So the final buffing is the big thing that actually gives you the shine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's different kind of techniques for that. So some people use nylons, so pantyhose, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing. Other people use just like a regular kind of cotton cloth. The guys in La Paz, which I thought was kind of cool, they use cut-up corduroys. So it's that like fuzzy kind of material, I guess, gives it like an extra buffing.
Right.
And then there was a guy in Paris that had, he actually had a fur mitten. Which I think is taking things a bit far,
literal
right?
he had
this fur mitten, and that was his final buffing of the shoe, was done with a fur mitten. I don't know if that was just, you know,
that was for show. I think that was for show.
I think so too, but he said that it like takes out all of the micro. I guess there are certain, like the brush leaves certain micro kind of marks, I guess, from the bristles. So when you do the buffing, I guess he thought that it took out these micro, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, he was French.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely the buffing cloth seems to be a big thing. And then there was also the sort of, do you shine with your bare hands? With gloves, that's been a sort of, and some people do think definitely putting on the polish like with your hands is better. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it does make sense to me, because they're always saying that, you know, the leather is skin, right? So
yeah,
it's like skin on skin. I don't know. So there are all kinds of, you know, little things that do come up that are different between shoe shiners. I'm in no way a professional. I'm not going to say which way is the best.
Okay. Yeah, but no, it sounds like there's a lot of different techniques. But when you mentioned putting on the polish with their hands, now,
mm-hmm.
is that leaving staining on the, I mean, they must be pretty dedicated, because does that come off, I mean, after doing that day after day?
mean, some of the, you know what, it was the high end, one of the high end guys does it. He doesn't do all of the polishing with his hands, but he does, if you have a good product.
Okay.
I think it's safer if you have a product that's all chemical. So they're using very high end products and they're putting the cream on with their hands. And then doing the buffing with the rags. So maybe those low, you know, higher end products are made with more natural ingredients, I would hope.
Yeah, we hope so. Yeah, definitely. But I mean,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of gentlemen these days, and ladies also, I mean, they when you invest so much money into a pair of shoes, definitely, I mean, I can see the value of going to a shoe shiner. I mean, and preserving the longevity of your shoes.
Absolutely. I think that's a big thing that I'm trying to tackle in the film as well, is the idea of buying quality and caring for it. So spending more money on your shoes, but actually bringing them to a shiner, and even, you know, to the point of being also bringing them to a cobbler if your soles wear out or whatever. And sort of this whole movement away from throwaway culture that people have had for so long, you know. So shoe shine is a part of that for sure.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I want to thank you for coming on today, but before you go, could you do us a favor? Can you tell us where we can follow you or learn more about Shiners, the documentary, and so we can get as many people as possible to support the film, because this really sounds like something that's super interesting.
Thanks so much. I'm on Instagram. That's where you found me. So my Instagram is shinersdoc. DOC, so Shiners Documentary, and on Facebook, that's probably the best place to go to try and, you know, I'm going to be putting all my updates on screenings and festivals and stuff like that. We'll probably come out on Facebook, and that is, it's a group, I have a group, and it's called Shiners, the Art of the Shoe Shine. So people can come check me out, it's an open group. I'd love to add everyone and help spread the word. Yeah, for sure. So that would be the best place to find out about screenings.
Okay, and
would
you
be
know,
on Facebook.
Okay, no, thank you. So everybody go check her out on Facebook and Instagram. Also, I did forget to ask, is there a tentative date for the film so we can kind of build some anticipation?
There is. I have to be done. I have a deadline. I have to be done by the end of September. So that's when the film will actually be finished. And then I'm going to start applying for film festivals and... So it'll probably come out in film festivals first, and that'll obviously depend on which city you're in. But there are a whole bunch of them in the fall coming up, and hopefully I'll end up in New York somewhere and other parts of the States. And then eventually maybe even theaters, depending on how things go. So best way to keep track of me is definitely on Facebook, and I'll have all kinds of notices in the fall about where you can come and see the film.
All right, that sounds so great. Again, we want to thank you for coming on the Life of a Gentleman podcast and wish you the best with your endeavor. And hopefully we keep up with you and maybe have you on again when the film is released and maybe catch up with you at a film festival in the future.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much, Stacy. Right now, what we're going to do is bring in our resident stylist, that is Dennis Stiles. I know this is something that Charles and I look forward to every week. So, Dennis, are you with us? Are you there?
Yes, I'm right here, gentlemen. How are you? Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon there, Dennis. It's good to hear from you again on the first official podcast. We know the pilot went excellent. So thank you very much for coming around and being a part of this. And now we're going to talk about the first impressions.
Let's get your take on that.
Well, I always said that's an interesting first topic, and this one is very important as far as like whether you're on a job interview or whether you're trying to impress somebody or just, you know, knocking down the deal, whether it be work or personal. Let's get started, gentlemen.
Sounds good. What advice would you give to someone who's trying to come off and make a good first impression?
Well, to me, like I was saying before, first impressions are very important, whether it's a job, meeting, business deal. I'm a firm believer that within the first 10 to 15 seconds of meeting someone, they will form an opinion. So only based on what you're wearing or how you carry yourself without even saying anything. Even though these are all subconscious thoughts, it's just the way things work. So now, if you ask me, how does your appearance and what you're wearing help you make a first great impression? I think I can look no further than fashion and your presentation. Excellent way to get in the door and help you get the job you want. You know, I live by a few codes, so and I'll start off with the first code. The first thing is you must get at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep. I'm a big sleeper. I like to sleep, so, you know, I wake up with more energy, more enthusiasm about my day. You know, it's like having 2, 3, 4 cups of coffee.
So the first way of making a good first impression is to get a good night's sleep. Yeah, I think that's something that I definitely need to work on. So that is a good tip.
Yeah, you don't want to come across sluggish. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's true too. And second, make sure, this is what I like to do. I don't know if everybody else does, I don't know if Chuck does, I don't know if you do it, but always make sure you separate your outfit the night before going to bed. I think it kills a lot of the morning time. Even if you have to style the outfit beforehand, when they're hanging on your closet, that's another, you know, way to, like, kind of get yourself ready for the next day. You know, I always tell my clients, separate your looks, you know, find the right combinations in your closet. It serves for great practice on how to utilize your pieces from head to toe. Another thing too, guys, is take pictures of what you're wearing. When you're at home, you know, you have a big mirror, take pictures. That way, you know, you wake up in the morning and say, damn, I don't know what to wear. Go back, you camera roll, and you see some looks that you might just pick up and say, you know what, I kind of like this for today. Let's do it.
Hey, Dennis, so are you saying that, like, in your spare time or the night before, go ahead and just kind of match everything up and down to the shoes so that way you can kind of head out the door quickly and have a confident look?
Well, yes, sir. Whether it be, like, just taking pictures or just whatever you have hanging on your closet. See, a lot of people do that. They'll hang a suit and they'll have it styled. Similar to having a mannequin at home. Put the right tie on, put the shirt on, and just be ready to go.
Okay.
Wow, so it sounded like that a lot of your first impressions begins from the night before. That you have to be conscious about how you're going to present yourselves on that next day. And it takes the time there at night. Wow, that is some very good tips there. And taking pictures, how are you to take a picture? From head to toe, headshot, or?
Yeah. No, just take selfie shots. Most people have big mirrors at home. You know, get in front of it. Wear with the shoes. Wear the complete look. Don't just wear a shirt and your trousers. Just wear the whole thing. Take pictures, whether it be straight shots, side shots, and trust me, it makes a difference. Common questions and negative feedback I get from my clients is, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm just going to the mall. I don't like to dress up on the weekdays. Or my personal favorite, which I hate trying on clothes.
Now, right.
This serves, a lot of my clients don't like trying on clothes. So before you get that job you want, or that you want to make that deal you need, or you get the girl that you want, it all goes back to, you know, starting, getting the right principles down. So that way, when you do get that interview you want, you're ready to go and you're ready to attack.
Sounds like you live by the 5 P's. Proper preparation prevents poor performance, if I'm hearing you correctly.
Exactly. This is all very important to create a better image and simply a better presentation. No excuses anymore.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're taking those out of the equation. But let's just give the guys that are listening at least one practical tip. What would you say is just a real simple, basic look that they could create that would be a clean and confident look so they can put their best foot forward?
The number one thing, you have to start off from bottom to top. The hardest thing for guys is pants. The reason for that is not a lot of guys are built the same. You might have big thighs. You might have a small waist. You know, your calves might be bigger than the rest of your legs. You know, it works like that. Mm-hmm. And you might have short legs, but a longer upper body. So start with getting the right pants. Your shirts are easier to find. I always said that. Definitely find yourself trousers. Always get the solid colors. Go with the blues, go with the tans and grays.
Okay, so don't try to get a whole bunch of patterns on your pants right away.
Nah, start off small, and then, you know, as you go, you know, further into your fashion, you know, the love of fashion, it'll create itself. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to happen right away. It takes time.
So I know we'll get into a little bit next week about some of the summer fashions that people should be wearing. But when you're talking about pants, what type of fabric, or is there a particular fabric that kind of fits a particular person?
Well, I like cotton and wool. A lot of the wool pants have lining on them, so that kind of, I like the soft texture of that silk underneath. You must have perfect pleats on your pants. It kind of stretches the pants to just go straight, it flows straight down. So that's the kind of pants I like.
Okay, so flat front, you're not talking about 3 and 4 pleats like back in the 90s, right?
No. just one pleat going straight down.
We're just checking. We're testing you, Dennis. that's some good solid advice. So you're saying, okay, build from the bottom on up, and then is there any just last thing?
There's one more thing I wanted to mention. Another key component is to try as many pleats as possible. Don't just focus on things you need. Focus on things you want. A lot of times people go shopping and they just say, you know what, I need a dress shirt, and you wind up finding something else that you know you'd rather have. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just focus on things that you want instead of things that you need.
Okay. Focus on things you want, what, like accessories or like more shirts, more pants, or
more pants, you know, take chances with shoes, you know. Wear different shoes than you normally, buy different shoes than you normally wear. If you need to go down a size in your blazer, do that.
How important is it if you pick up a piece and you put it on and it fits you perfectly and they have the different colors? How important is it to buy those different colors of those pieces?
Oh, that's another thing that I'm actually going to mention. Don't focus on just going to one store. Don't say, oh, I'm just going to go to Macy's and I'm going to get everything from there. Go to different stores. Go to, you know, this store you get your blazer, another store you get your pair of pants, and another store you get, you know, your either shirts or ties. So hey, that's the code that I live by. I don't focus on one shop.
Keep your eyes open for deals. Keep your eyes open for different stores, different places to shop. A lot of good solid advice there, Dennis. Appreciate it.
So why do you think once you start from the bottom to the top, you get the good sleep, you separate your outfit the night before, you take pictures, why is that so important in making a first impression?
Well, a lot of times when clients go to stores or shops, what they do is they'll come out. You know, they'll be shy to come out. They're shy to look in the three-way mirror. They're shy to, you know, try on different pieces because they don't feel comfortable. So what better way to feel comfortable than styling it at home? You know what I mean? Under the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, because if you're not confident or comfortable wearing the clothes, what happens when you step out?
Well, when you step out, when you're actually in the store or just in general?
No, when you step out in public and you're not really comfortable in what you're wearing, well, what have you seen?
It doesn't matter what bracelet you have, pants, or what great shirt you have, or what amazing blazer you have. It's just not going to work because it's got to come within. How you get confidence is practice, my friend.
Oh, that makes sense right there.
Kind of like when you need a jump, when, you know, a lot of, you know, same thing with sports, you know, you practice. You want to... You don't have a jump shot, you know, you need to develop a post game.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, hit a little bit more home runs.
You got
to
put in those reps, you know, right? Put in the reps.
Fashion is like that. You know, you understand, guys. Fashion doesn't come easy to everybody. You know what I mean? People have to work on it, you know?
Practice makes perfect, and that makes perfect sense for us.
And I think it's better to practice at home.
Yeah, before you go out, right?
Don't be afraid to buy two or more of the same shirts. If they fit, they fit.
That's some good advice, too.
Yeah. Actually, that's going to be on the next episode of Budget. I'm going to be kind of like letting guys know how to multiply your pieces and save at the same time.
Okay, we can look forward to that for sure.
Remember, guys, no days off when it comes to fashion. Whether you have the grocery store, whether you have the mall, or whether it's a weekday. If you want to develop that great fashion sense and that great first presentation, it starts from the beginning.
Hey, Dennis, can you do us a favor before you go? Can you let everybody in the listening audience know how they can get in touch with you or where they can follow you on social media?
Yeah, you could follow me on Instagram at Dennis, D-E-N-I-S, underscore Styles. And you could contact me through email at D-E-N-N-I-S-A, and my last name, which is C-A-R-E, as in Victor, A-J-A-L, at gmail.com.
All right, so guys, if you want to get a little bit more in-depth with Dennis Styles, feel free to reach out to him. And also, before you go, could you give one last tip of the week? It doesn't have to be fashion related, but if you'd like it to be, go ahead. We want to hear your tip of the week, Dennis.
Remember, guys, when shopping, don't shop for what you need, but shop for what you want. Treat yourself. Don't just focus just because you have a job and you have to wear, just have to buy a dress shirt and pants. Go all out. Get the suit. Get the tie. Get the cufflinks. Get the tie bar.
And the tip of the day is get the monthly box.
Yeah, you can always sign up for the Harrison Blake Apparel monthly box too.
But that is a great tip. Thank you very much. You have to treat yourself first, and have to feel good inside first before other people are going to feel good.
All right, we'll talk to you next time, Dennis. Thanks for coming on.
Take care, guys.
Well, gentlemen, we had a great episode today. I know I enjoyed myself. We were helped to appreciate the importance of making a great first impression. We also had the chance to discover some interesting shoe shining facts, and we also learned a few practical style tips from Dennis. I hope you enjoyed listening to The Life of a Gentleman today. Let me whet your appetite for next week. Next week, we're gonna pull back the curtains. We're gonna go behind the scenes, as it were, and talk about the apparel manufacturing industry with Stephen Carter. He's had years in the apparel field, and he's going to talk to us about quality control, fabric, and other facts about the apparel manufacturing that you might have never thought of. Also next week, we're going to address the question, should you dress down to your family and friends? Because when you're making these changes as a life of a gentleman, a lot of people are going to start to ask you, why are you dressing up? Why are you trying to show out? But it's not showing out, and we're gonna dive into that a little bit more next week. Lastly, I wanna thank Charles, I wanna thank Dennis, and I wanna thank our special guest, Stacy Tenenbaum from Shiners, the documentary, for coming on the show. If you have any questions or comments, or you'd like to be featured on the podcast, please send us an email, podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com. And we also would appreciate it if you would subscribe to the show, give us a rating and a review. It really helps us, and we appreciate the feedback. Also, we want to make you aware of a free book that we're giving away that the podcast is based off of, and that is The Life of a Gentleman. And you can download a free copy of that book at www.harrisonblakeapparel.com. Go to the blog and download your free copy today. That is our gift to you. Until next time, we'll continue on this journey with the life of a gentleman.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandramarie.com.